This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. And once again, you are in for a big treat. We're going to be talking to one of our local suppliers. So you can find out a little bit about this product that we have today. I'm going to give you a hint. It's something I have every day, first thing in the morning. And find out where you can find it, buy it, how much it costs, and what makes it special. So joining me here in the studio today, I have Natalie Smith. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
So for the folks listening, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about, well, first of all, what's the name of your product or your company?
Tribal Grounds Coffee.
Okay. And tell everybody what's the background of Tribal Grounds Coffee?
Tribal Grounds came into being in 2006, technically, but we've just started roasting and distributing only in 2012. We are located on tribal land, privately owned tribal land in North Carolina, in Whittier, North Carolina, mm-hmm. where we do all of the roasting, packing, and shipping of our coffees.
So are you a member of the Cherokee
yes.
tribe? Okay.
Yes.
So is that on your mother's side? Your
My
father?
Mother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you grow up in Cherokee? Or
I was born there, and I grew up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And I lived around the United States in the southeast, southwest, and then back home finally. We're all back together now. So,
I'm so curious about your experience as a member of the Cherokee tribe. I mean, when did you first become aware that that was part of your heritage?
Since I was born, I was born on the Quala boundary. I was one of the last rounds of babies born on the Quala boundary. After my birth year, everyone is now born off the Quala boundary. So, it's always been in my awareness and my life. My grandfather, my grandmother, the whole side of my mom's family is from there, lives there. And my dad's family is from Bryson City.
Okay.
Just neighboring. So
yeah. you're very Western North Carolina.
Yeah.
Western North Carolina. Uh-huh. So how does somebody like you get involved in coffee beans and coffee? where does this come from?
I really love living here. This is my home, and I came back home when my mother's father was on his way out of life. So I decided after he passed away, I wanted to stay around my grandmother, my aunts and uncles. And I went to Western Carolina University and graduated with an art education degree. And with that degree, I needed to create an income for myself here. not in Asheville necessarily, because I really wanted to be close to family.
Sure.
And I had a young child at the time who enjoyed being with family, and that was invaluable to me. So I looked for ways of making an income where I lived and noticed that there was no, there were no sources of specialty coffee where I lived. So I put two and two together, and I started off with a coffee house in Cherokee. Then that ended after a good 9 years of
okay.
run. And I continued roasting, and now I'm focusing on wholesale distribution. So that has become my career. I basically created it for myself.
Wow, that's great. So you're very entrepreneurial, right? Yeah, so I guess I think it's one of those things, an art education major.
Have to travel far. I would have to probably relocate into a large city.
Or to be a teacher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
That's exciting. And how old is your son now?
He's 15.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So, and he's still in this area too with you?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He goes to a school in North Georgia.
And I know he goes to school with one of our good friends at Ingalls, William Shelton's kids.
Yeah. They've been in together since elementary school.
A lot of people know William from our commercials, and William's been in magazines for Ingalls, and he's one of our local farmers from Whittier.
Yep.
And he grows hydroponic lettuce and tomatoes and other crops.
Yeah.
And
we're business neighbors. Basically. Yeah.
I've been to his farm in Whittier.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. It is beautiful. Yeah. And I talked to him not too long ago. So, yeah. So that's exciting. It's such a small world, right?
Yeah.
And you used to really start talking to people. So in full disclosure, I met Natalie about, it's been a couple months now, right? 2 or 3 months?
Yeah, at least.
We were at a Sunday supper at Rhubarb, and my husband and I were sitting with you and your
fiance,
fiance Tony, mm-hmm. and we got to talking. And what do you do? And it turned out she had this coffee company. And I said, "Well, have you ever tried approaching Ingalls?" And you were a little bit nervous.
Yes,
you were a lot nervous.
Yeah, I was.
And so, eventually, you kind of gave me the green light and said, okay, I'm ready now to kind of start pursuing Ingalls.
Yeah.
And now
I had always wanted to be in Ingalls. It was a dream of mine. And since I'm almost a one person show, I'm not, by the way. I feel that I'm a very small producer in terms of coffee producers. I felt intimidated by,
it's a big store.
Yeah.
And when people start hearing, oh, we've got 204 stores in mm-hmm. six states, but we really have been trying in the past few years, especially to try and work with local farmers and suppliers and bring them in even to a few stores at a time. And with the idea of maybe we can help them
grow
their business. Yeah. And that's really,
it has been
worked out. Yeah.
It's been transformational and very good for my business. So.
Good.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking more about that. We want to make sure we mention a website or Facebook page for people to go to get more information about Tribal Grounds Coffee. What would that be?
CoffeeWithCulture.com.
CoffeeWithCulture.com. And you're also on Facebook too?
Yes, as Tribal Grounds.
Tribal Grounds. Okay. Coffee with Culture or Tribal Grounds, folks. And then you can read a little bit more about Natalie's story and her products. And we're going to be talking more about which Ingalls stores feature her products and where to find them, how much they cost, and what makes that coffee special. Stay tuned to the Ingalls Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingalls Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingalls dietitian, and in the studio with me today I have Natalie Smith. Natalie is the owner of a business called Tribal Grounds Coffee, and she's been telling us a little bit about her journey from being an art education major at Western Carolina University to becoming a business, first with a coffee shop in Cherokee, right, Natalie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then just moving over to working with just the coffee product itself. What happened there? Like, why did you make that decision?
The business didn't do well during the economic crisis we had.
Right, sure.
And eventually it had to end. So I split off on my own and continued roasting and distributing because that part of the business was doing well and it was growing. So.
And where do you source your, source your coffee beans from? And before you answer that question, I will tell you that some people have no idea that we're not growing massive forests of coffee.
Correct.
In the United States,
yes.
Right?
Yes. That is a very common question. Yeah. A common question that I get is, so do you grow your own coffee? And I have to say no, because coffee will only grow in the coffee belt of the world.
I didn't even know there was a term like that. Like, not like the Bible belt, it's
mm-hmm.
the coffee belt. So
yes.
Where is the coffee belt?
It is located around the equator.
Oh, okay.
And it extends several thousand miles north and south of that.
Okay.
But that's it. So a good way to understand that is coffee will only grow in regions of the world where there's never a frost.
So that puts us right out of the equation right there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The only place in the United States that grows coffee is Hawaii.
Ah, yes.
And the coffee industry has, the Hawaiian coffee industry has battled for years to get some type of legislation, regulation on the labeling of their bags, so that consumers will know, are they getting a blend that includes Hawaiian, or are they getting 100%
Hawaiian?
So that's been part of what some of the Hawaiian coffee struggle.
Does it have to be at a certain altitude too? Do they like high? Because it seems to me like a lot of coffee beans I think about or hear about are higher altitudes, but no, wait, because I know there's coffee grown in like Costa Rica,
yes,
and that's sea level,
correct,
right? Okay.
Uh-huh. Well, Costa Rica has mountains.
Oh,
and,
okay. Oh, that's true, yeah.
Dominican Republic also has mountains.
Okay.
And so coffee can grow at low altitude.
Right.
But the concentration of flavors and oils is higher in the high altitude coffees.
Interesting.
And the berries are smaller. It's the same concept as with blueberries, for example,
yeah,
or blackberries. Blueberries that you pick here on the Parkway are typically small.
Uh-huh.
Or like in the Pisgah.
Right.
Yeah, the forest. Are typically small and they have a lot of flavor.
Sure.
And then blueberries that you might grow at home are bigger, juicier, without
more watery. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And that has something to do with not only the type of bush, such as with coffee, you have different strains of coffee.
Sure.
The altitude, everything. And then soil. So coffee is an agricultural product.
Sure.
And soil content will come through in the flavor of the coffee. For example, to tie in blueberries and coffee, there is a really popular attribute to Ethiopian coffee.
Mm-hmm.
A certain species of Ethiopian coffee will carry blueberry flavor naturally. Now, some of it is extremely strong, the blueberry flavor. And then some of the coffees have less of that characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
And Ethiopia is the indigenous home of coffee. So coffee grows wild in Ethiopia.
Really?
And it is.
I didn't know that.
One of my, I require myself to always carry Ethiopian beans to make my blends.
Okay.
One of my blends is 50% Ethiopian, which is the new moon. It's the darkest roast that I carry. And the reason I do that is to pay homage to coffee's origins.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So your coffee then is coming from different regions of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you said Ethiopia, where else?
So currently Ethiopia is the only African coffee that I have. I also carry Sumatra, mm-hmm, which is really earthy and gives some bite to it because it's from volcanic soils.
Okay.
Then over in this hemisphere, I have the American coffee that I have is Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Because it is in North America.
Sure.
So I have, and then South America, there's Peru, there's, I do from time to time get some Bolivian, which is very hard to get.
Really?
And then we have Central American coffees. We have Nicaragua, Guatemala, Honduras, and many others that I am not quite
sure. Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So I want to mention again, because we're coming to the end of the segment, again, the website to find you is coffeewithculture.com. And you can find Natalie's coffee as well, more information about it, on Facebook as Tribal Grounds coffee. On Facebook. And in the next segment, Natalie's going to be telling us where you can find her coffee and about some of the different bags or labels that you want to look for depending on what flavor profiles you like. And also, she's going to give you some tips on how to brew the perfect cup of coffee. And when we were in break, she already told me, be careful about your tap water, your source of water. That's the key. Stay tuned to the Ingles Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingles dietitian, talking with Natalie Smith of Tribal Grounds Coffee. And my intern, Margaret Peck, is here. And during our little break, she had a quick question. She said, is there a difference in the caffeine amount between a light roasted coffee and a dark roasted coffee? And Natalie's answer was?
Not at all. On a micro level, yes. A micro measurement level there is. And a lot of people think that dark coffees have more caffeine, but it's the opposite. And lighter roasted coffees have micro level more caffeine than dark roast. And the reason is the same reason is the longer you cook your food, the more you're breaking down the nutrients in that food. Same as with coffee. The longer you roast it, you're getting darker flavors, bringing out more oils, but you're breaking down those other molecules.
Phytochemicals and everything. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we want to make sure we get this in. So tell us about, first tell us which Ingles stores currently carry your coffees.
Okay. You can currently find them at the Clayton Ingles in Georgia.
Okay.
Silva Ingles.
Okay.
Bryson City, which is my hometown. I was so happy to get that.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? Oh, Inca Candler.
Oh, great.
Yeah, okay. Right. And they're all in slightly different locations in the store, but people can help you find where it is.
And what kind of, can you describe to people, what different types of coffee do you sell at the stores?
I blend all of my coffees. So I sell blends. And what that means is some people might go in looking for a Colombia, 100% Colombia, or a lot of people like Sumatra,
right.
100% Sumatra, for example. What I do in my roastery is I take these beans from those countries, blend them together, and create my own recipe.
Oh, okay.
And I've given them all
kind
names.
Kind of like a mixologist, right?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yes. So I offer 6 blends.
Okay.
Starting with the espresso blend. And I have created that specifically for the use in an espresso machine.
Okay.
Like in restaurants and some restaurants that you can find that in. But at home, it's absolutely delicious as a medium body coffee, but it has a bite.
Okay.
Like the espresso you would want from espresso. So we start with espresso being Rattlesnake Mountain, which is the mountain in the center of Cherokee, North Carolina. It divides the economic side of the community with the art and historical side.
Okay.
That's also where my business was based from when it began.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose that name. Then my light roast blend is called Sunale, which is a Cherokee word for morning.
Okay.
And it's a light, bright, citrusy. And right now, being summertime, it is my favorite blend that we have.
Okay.
It has some herbally flavors. You can taste some caramel in there, and it's mm-hmm. a light mouthfeel. So it's really good for hot mornings, but you still want that rich coffee and caffeine experience.
Mm-hmm.
Then going to medium roast would be Guahi. It starts with K. So in the store, if you look on my bags, it will be the coffee that starts with a K.
Okay.
And it sounds like a G when you say it. It's just the language, the Cherokee language. Guahi is a place, it's the highest place in the southern Appalachians. It is otherwise known as Klingman's Dome.
Oh, right, sure.
And from my roastery window, you can see it. And it's just a really, it's a mythical place. It's a beautiful place. And I wanted to name one of my coffees that. Next is going into the dark roast realm. We have Long Runner. And on that bag, you will see a picture of a man, an old historical photo of a Tarahumara Mexican runner. Okay. Who, that in their culture, they are famous for their long distance cross country runners. Mm-hmm. And also, at one point during my business history, my tribe began to support the cross country running team at the high school, which we have broken state records and such. So I am proud of that, part of our culture coming back. And I named one of my coffee blends the Long Runner.
Nice.
It's a dark roast. It's balanced. It's not the darkest, but it's meant to kind of keep you going, those hardcore coffee lovers who want dark roast all day long.
Yeah.
Then the darkest is New Moon, which I mentioned earlier with Ethiopia. I can give you a secret of that recipe, which is 50% Ethiopian beans. It's our French roast level coffee, and it's not over roasted, which is what a lot of people love about it. Then decaf is our deep river. It has the blue label. Our decaf is Swiss water processed decaf, which is a patented way of decaffeinating coffee using liquid carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves all of the oils and flavors intact in the bean, and I highly recommend it for anyone who loves decaf but doesn't like the heartburn.
Yeah.
It's roasted to a little bit beyond medium, and I would bet money that anyone you served it to would never know it was decaf.
So we only have about a minute left, unfortunately, but we want to make sure we mention this, because I kind of teased it, that you said the secret to the perfect cup of coffee is good water.
Oh, yes.
So if you think your water is municipal water or really hard well water with a lot of minerals, you advise people to make sure they're using a filtered water, mm-hmm, or a spring water or something that is, because yes, that's the secret.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
to
that's
the
most
coffee.
Important ingredient in making a good cup of coffee. Also, if you're doing French press, which is my favorite style of brewing, don't pour boiling water onto your coffee because you'll scald it. Let the water stop boiling and just simply be very hot without rolling boil, and add that on too.
Well, this has been so fun to talk to you about your coffees. Make sure you look for Natalie's coffees in the stores that she mentioned: Clayton, Bryson City, Silva, Enka, and maybe more in time. And follow her on Tribal Ground Coffees on Facebook. Thanks so much, Natalie.
Thank you.